you're gonna get kind of an old-fashioned speech here, I guess. Down there in the Oklahoma Panhandle where I'm from, we think we're pretty tough folks trying to make a living running cows in the Oklahoma Panhandle where we drought out every once in a while and have some problems. But to come 650 miles north, and that's what it is in my house to here, where y'all just got hit with a terrible, terrible blizzard, I think we're really sissies. I mean, we had a 6-year drought, had to sell a lot of cows, but we got more for them than just calling the debt truck. I think that's what y'all did, either that or the river washed them away. This business is pretty darn tough. We plan to survive and stay in the cow business. I bet y'all do too, or you wouldn't be here. All the experts tell us that, you know, the next 5 or 6 years is going to be really good. The cow business is going to make some money, and the drought is going to break. And I sure hope they're right. We got a lot of catching up to do. The only fly I see in the ointment is that it appears that the government has the ability to screw up people. I was asked to come to this meeting by Paul to speak because it is a long way from home. I don't know hardly anybody here, and he thought he could pass me off as an expert. Now, I have relatives and a few neighbors that would disagree with that. I'll tell you a little bit about our outfit, what our goals are, and where we're trying to take our cow herd. My family's been there in the Oklahoma Panhandle since 1883. We've made a lot of mistakes, but through the grace of God, we're still in the business. Our country down there is rated at about a cow to 20 acres. We run a cow to 25. We always hedge a little bit about drought, because it can have you. 2008, we were running about 1,400 cows, and 2008 was a dry year. Because we hedge and don't stock up quite as much as we could, we made it through 08 all right. Then 09 was, well, it was a little bit drier. So we sold all the 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, and older cows. And then 2010, it was a little bit drier. So we sold all the fall cabin cows and the 7-year-olds. We early weaned the calves at 100 days of age, which actually worked pretty good. And then 2011 came along, and it was the driest year in recorded history. Drier than the 30s, the Dust Bowl, drier than the 50s. It was a dry year. So we kind of ran out of choices. We sold all the 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-old cows. We weaned those baby calves at 70 days of age. That's a little tougher to do than 100. We got through it, but 70 is cut pretty darn close to what we could do. 2012 was a little bit better than 11, but not all that much. We had retained the first calf heifers, 2-year-olds, and 3-year-olds. We put a lot of money and time into developing those genetics, and we wasn't going to sell anymore. So we drove 650 miles northeast and found some green grass, bought a place in Unionville, Missouri. And so we shipped all those 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, first calf heifers to Missouri. And we'd sorted our bull battery pretty good over this drought too. We had 17 bulls left that we wasn't going to sell, and so we shipped them up there too. We completely destocked the grass in Oklahoma in July of 2012, but we kept our 70-day-old calves in the pens. It rained a little bit in Oklahoma after we destocked in July, and we needed a few calves, flash grace, weeds that come up in the pastures, and we could run a few more cows in Missouri. So we decided maybe we ought to restock a little bit. Of course, in this business, as you all know, the decision you make today takes you 2 years to figure out if that was smart or not. Our ranch philosophy is, and always has been for at least for a long time, to run the very best commercial cows in America. The theory being, they don't need any more. Matter of fact, I would contend they eat a little bit less, or a little bit better. They'll garner more premiums on the rail. They'll garner more premiums if you get to sell them as weaning calves and yearlings. And the replacement heifers are always in demand. Even back in the years we had a lot of cows, you can sell a really good replacement. Then it's not enough to just say that's what you're going to do. You have to measure and be sure that that's what you're doing. Not every brilliant idea you have is going to achieve brilliant results. It takes the best balanced genetics available. Just like Tanya said, if a steer doesn't have the genetic ability to be a prime, you can feed him and feed him and feed him, and he's never going to be a prime. He'll be a 5 or a 4, but he probably won't ever be a prime. If you breed a heifer that has a 1 CED to the bull with a 1 CED, you're probably going to have some cattle problems. So you've got to get your genetic ability. We have lots of tools to work with now that we didn't used to have. The Angus Association has the greatest database on cattle in the world. High accuracy EPDs work as advertised. Sometimes those low accuracy EPDs can get in a little bit of trouble if the accuracy is 0.05. I mean, that's an indicator, but hey, if it's 70, pretty much count on it being pretty close to right. GeneMax testing is a fairly economical way to sort heifers based on genetic merit, and it'll get better with time. Right now, they're only doing a few SNPs. They're looking at a few genes that come up at the GeneMax score, and the 50K test, they look at 50,000. So as we go and they get more knowledge and incorporate more genes, more SNPs, I think the GeneMax test will get better. And so as we progress along, it's getting much easier to get the genetics right in Houston. Takes a good health program, good animal husbandry. You have the best genetics in the world. If the health program isn't right, or those cattle are too thin, then the genetics won't save the day. Takes good handling, decent facilities, and pretty good fences to keep the neighbor's trick bull out. And you gotta have a marketing plan. You can have the best cattle in the world if you don't have the data. To back that up, you're probably not gonna get paid for your efforts. It takes an understanding banker. Ryan didn't know he was gonna have to be this understanding. It takes also a little bit of cooperation Mother Nature, a little bit of rain, some good grass, not too many cow killing blizzards, but we really can't do anything about that part, so we probably ought to just work on the things that we can control. With all that in mind, we found ourselves needing to start rebuilding our herd a little bit. We didn't want to lower our standards any. We feed all our steers, sell them on the grid. And in a pen of good steers, always a $200 or $300, sometimes bigger than that, spread between the most valuable and the least valuable steer in the pen. Of course, we're looking for the most valuable, more of them and less of the lower value cattle. We've been doing it a long time, and we kind of got to where we could feed steers and come back with 99% choice, about 15% prime, and about 70% calf. So we didn't want to go down from that. On the maternal side, our heifers, calves, 2-year-olds, calves weaned, having gained about 3 pounds a day for every day they've been alive. Our breedback rate averages about 95%. So to do this, it takes really good genetics, and it takes it on both sides, the bull side and the cow side. You can't do it just we've got a little bit of irrigated ground. We raised some sort of sedan grass for insulates, grow a little corn, some wheat pasture. We've got since we didn't have any cows in Oklahoma, just those baby cows in the pens, we decided to buy some heifers. And we hadn't bought heifers in a long time, we'd always just raised our own. So it's kind of scary to go try to buy some heifers when we haven't been doing it. In the fall of 2012, we bought heifer calf, five different outfits that didn't retain any for themselves. We received these heifers in September and October. We weaned them in the pen. Didn't have any health issues. They weaned good and they looked really good. The hope was that, hey, it's going to start raining. We can breed these heifers and restock. But it didn't. The rains didn't come, so we're going to maybe keep just a few of the bought heifers and keep our raised heifers and breed them. I've fed enough cattle and looked at enough killed heifers to know it's impossible, or at least I can't look at them and tell what's in this. The write-up in the video catalog about all these heifers was just about the same. 100% black hide, replacement quality. You're getting the best they raise. When these people go to the whatever big name bull breeder you want to name, bull sale, why, they step right up there and they give $8,000 and $10,000 a piece for their bulls. Very rarely in the catalog do they mention anything about the EPDs on the bulls that the heifers out of. They don't tell you too much about the breeding of the bulls, except, oh, well, they're so-and-so bulls. And very rarely do they have much killed out there in that catalog. Sometimes they'll say high percent calf candidates or gain 4 pounds a day. I mean, that's all good and well, but to me, it's not enough to make deep cull decisions on replacement. I'm very confident in our home-based heifers because we've got killed out of back it up for years. But these replacement heifers, I didn't know. The Ag Association had just came out with the GMAX testing deal, and so I called and talked to the folks there, Gary Fack in particular, and Keith Paul, Canada Partner. And the question was, well, what GMAX score does it take to, if that heifer is bred to the right bull, to have a primary calf? Well, the answer it was, and is, all the time when you talk about genetics, is it depends. And it, you know, I really couldn't pin it down too much, but we just decided, okay, we're going to try to keep heifers. Bought heifers at GMAX score 80 and above. And if we do that, breed them to the right bull, hopefully that heifer calf can have a calf or a primary. I'm fairly tight. If you ask my wife, she would say that's sure the truth. And I wasn't terribly excited about spending $17.50 on all those heifers to try to pick up. So what we did is when we worked those heifers, we kept them all, the different groups all together. We tested 1 out of 10. And so 10%. And then we waited for the GMAX scores to come back. Two of the groups of heifers that we bought off of two places, GMAX tested really good. I mean, they were above 60% of those heifers. And three of the groups of heifers, they didn't lose them. They, from 10 to 30%, 35% of those other three groups tested 80 and above. So we decided to do our mining and spend our money on those two groups that the initial 10% GMAX tested group. So we sorted off the good ones that we'd already paid for the test for, and then we tested all of the heifers out of those two groups. So
result was that out of 474 heifers, we tested actually 174 of those. We retained 107 out of that 174. So the GMAX testing cost was $32.05 each for the ones we kept. 105 of those we got bred, and they're due to calve this spring, and we will feed those calves, and I'll know a lot more if GMAX works or not after we get that killed out. An interesting side note, kind of like some of the tests they were talking about. I'm dubious about everything. So some of those heifers that GMAX tested poorly, we went ahead and fed, which was a mistake because I think everything we fed lost money and like compensated somewhere. Anyway, those heifers really didn't feed all that bad. They really didn't. Yeah, they killed 65% choice, 20% calf, 3% prime. Well, you know, that's not terrible. That's not bad at all. But when you compare them to our homeway steers that went 99% choice, 70% calf, and 16% prime, there's a big difference in the checks when you sell them on the quality grid. There's a difference in that kind of kill that. So that's why I think we need to be working really hard to try to get those better killing cattle and improve the herd. Not for anybody's benefit except mine. I'm trying to make a living, you know, and I think that's probably where we need to go. An interesting side note is we had these heifers in pen side by side, and I took five or six different pretty damn good cowmen through and said, all right, guys, tell me which of these heifers is the best pen. Rank them 1 through 5. And second best through fifth best, there was some disagreement, but everybody agreed that, boy, that pen of heifers was the best heifers of the five different bunches. And I agreed with that too. Just looking. Well, when we got the GMAX results back, those were the sorriest tested heifers of the five bunches. And the problem was they didn't have any marketing. I mean, they were good, heavy, bone, square kind of, I mean, they were good-looking cattle. You'd like them. But they didn't have the marketing. So we fed them. This year we bought 622 heifers. We did the same process. We're still waiting on some results to come back. But out of those 622, we're going to retain at least 184 of those. Tested above 80 and bring them along with about 300 homeway heifers. So that's how we're going to rebuild our cowherd. And if it doesn't rain, we'll probably end up selling those. Then if we have to do that, that's all right, because good GMAX tested heifers will break a premium. They surely will. At the Gardner Angus Ranch sale in September of 2012, they sold 140 AI GMAX tested heifers. The heifers tested between 80 and 99, averaged $2,100 a head. The heifers testing from 60 to 79, averaged to 1987. Hey, that pays for your test pretty good. The heifers testing below 60, averaged 1712. So that's pretty good. I mean, commercial people at that sale are recognizing that the good GMAX testing heifers are worth more money. Then in the Gardner April of 2013 sale, they sold GMAX tested heifers at average 97. And those heifers brought $2,850. Hell, when you think about that, maybe I hope it doesn't rain and I'll sell it. It's not bad money. Some people say, oh, well, none of this matters, I just sell calves that win. Carcass data doesn't matter to me. That may be true, but every bovine in America ends up as a center plate piece on somebody's plate. And I don't know any cattle feeders that don't keep track of where cattle come from and how they do. I know that this year I was very aggressive with buying those heifers that Gene Max tested good for me last year, and I didn't even bid on the ones that did. So I think it's the wave of the future. I think Gene Max tested cattle or genetic. I mean, the better the test, the more value it's going to have when you turn around and try to sell. My wife said the other day that, you know, life was much simpler. Why can't we just do things like we used to, just turn out bulls and wean calves, run them on wheat if we got it, feed them or sell them or whatever. She said, I'm so tired of all this record keeping, turning in records to Angus and AI cows. Can't we just go back to the way we used to do it? And, I mean, she's right. That's a much simpler life. But I think the industry has changed dramatically in the last 40 years and really dramatically in the last 10. And so I think the outfits that's going to prosper and do well are those that incorporate all this stuff and try to make it work. So I don't really have a whole lot else, but I will sit down and shut up and you can